Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him. We've got former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, on the show. He's also the author of the new book, and it's not coming out. It is out. So Jeff is out, in other words. Hey, it is on thin ice at onthinicebook.com. You guys got to check it out. We've been doing, open up that mic, Jeff. You know, we've been doing these box giveaways. You've got a system where people being able to enter contests. You've been announcing winners on Thursdays, and it's been going great. And from what I understand, this is the last week. And so if people want to be eligible to win, can you just tell them how they do it and what's at stake, what they can win if they enter the contest?
Yeah, what they need to do is just go to onthinicebook.com, and you have the opportunity there to click on the prologue and read it for free. It automatically enters you for this last drawing, and it'll give you the opportunity to win the VIP swag box, which will contain a hard copy of the book signed. Not that that gives it any value, but nonetheless, and then some other gifts. And you know, you've seen those, Chip, because of everything he's done for me. I've sent him off a swag box, which he's already received. You get a nice coaster, and it doubles as a bottle opener. If anybody's like me, they like their beer, so that's very important. And you know, I believe it has a T-shirt and a pen and some other things in it. So it's pretty cool.
Well, contrary to what Jeff says, actually, my copy that's on eBay is valued higher because it is personally signed by Jeff Winninger. So I just wanted to throw that out. I did add value to it. No, I'm not parting with that book. I have to admit, you know, I love the hard copies, and man, having a signed hard copy autographed by the author, that's incredible. But I'm a little funny when it comes to magazines and books and stuff, you know, ones I care about. So I want to keep them in pristine condition. And so, and I need to talk with you, because I had a question about the e-version of the book that we discussed. I want to get the update on that. But anyhow, I prefer when I read, I like the Kindle version on my cell phone, because it's always with me and I'm not crinkling pages and bending pages, because I like everything. I like my books pristine. It's a weird thing, but I like them. Like, they're my books. They look like they did when they were brand new, you know. So anyhow, that's the way I roll. So, but thank you. I absolutely love it. And congratulations. And hey, I know that every time I ask you, you're always like, you know, you're number one, you're number three or two or whatever. So things are going good with the book, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's still ranked as one of the best sellers on Amazon. It's doing outstanding. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm giving scholarship money. People will be able to buy the book and write an essay. And then I have a board that will rate them, and they'll be picked three winners for a scholarship for university pay for college. And in order to do that, I'm making the Kindle version 99 cents. So I'm not taking money out of college students' pockets, so they can have an opportunity to. So you currently can get the book for 99 cents on Kindle if you go to Amazon.
Yeah. And guys, I encourage you guys to get both. You know, if you're like me, there's nothing like having a physical book, right? But you know, my cell phone is with me when I'm at the gym and I'm working out, you know, and I'm talking like the cardio portion, man, I got my phone there, and I can read, I can listen, I can do what I it's always with you. So that's why I do like Kindle versions for the books and stuff. But I frequently will get both copies, the hard copy, and I'll get the Kindle version. So I encourage you guys to consider doing that. So excellent, Jeff. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. You know, our title sponsors, Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. So title sponsors, Gulls, satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies. And we got on satellite radio back on May the 5th, and it's been going, we've been killing it ever since. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, Gunlearn.com, Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, they built an online store. I talked about them recently. And just before the show started, and we are doing a Two Bells giveaway today. That means if you type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address, you will be up to win the $20 gift card code for Two Bells. And that means any purchase you make at our online store, the first $20 is on them. Also, fishorlandobass.com. Now, look, here's the deal, guys. When you go to Orlando and you go to Disney, you have options now. So listen to this. This is cool. So when your wife and the kids, they're the ones that really want to go to Disney, right? Maybe the grandkids too. But if you're a dude, You have options now, and you can really take your wife or your girlfriend too, but fishorlandobass.com. So Zach has got a bass fishing charter that's in Orlando. And so while the wife and the kids or grandkids are enjoying, you know, Disney, man, go hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, do the alligator hunting, and it's catch and relocating alligators. And it's a great opportunity, guys. And hey, that's the way we roll in Florida. So when you're going to Orlando, start, you know, making those plans, fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, formerlawman.com with Ray Dietrich and lawofficer.com with Travis Yates. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Remember that our main stories that we start off with, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. So this is not a great story, but we need to keep you guys informed of what's going on so you can keep your head on a swivel. UK terror attack outside a packed synagogue, and Yom Kippur leaves 2 dead, 4 injured. According to police, and they're targeting this during, you know, their holiday, their religious ceremony, and it's just sad. But at least it wasn't any worse than it was. We're going to talk about that. Then we got 8 years for attempted Supreme Court attempted murder sparks DOJ outrage, and I don't think anyone's happy about that. Everybody, I'm sure, knows about it. Then the Trump admin reverses the counterterrorism funding cuts to New York. We talked about that last week, and that's an interesting story because I don't know how compelling it is, but we'll discuss that in a second. And then we got Blanc Township Police. They showed a body cam of an officer shooting that killed the LDS church shooter. And guys, this went down fast, a lot faster than what they originally thought. Man who charged at an Anaheim police officer with a shovel is fatally shot. And that's right. That's not the naked dude. I think the naked dude's the next one. Then we have an FBI agent gets suspended after refusing to do a perp walk for James Comey. And that's according to the story. We got a naked knife dude. He's got a knife and he's chasing cops around without clothes on. And he gets shot to death after charging at police. And so that didn't work out well for him. So if you're ready, let's start off with the we have two main topics back to back. Foxnews.com, UK terror attack outside a packed synagogue on Yom Kippur leaves 2 dead, 4 injured, according to police. And so it says that at least 2 victims have died and 4 were seriously injured after a car and a knife terror attack outside a synagogue in Manchester in the United Kingdom on Thursday. And so the weapon of choice here, besides, you know, the car potentially was the knife. So the deadly incident came on Yom Kippur. The holiest day for the Jewish calendar. And as people are gathering at an Orthodox synagogue, the Metropolitan Police in London said that there was they're classifying as a terrorist attack. Now, the 2 deceased victims were members of the Jewish community. And it goes on to say that the other 4 victims were hospitalized with a variety of serious injuries. Paramedics arrived at the scene and they were seen treating the victims. Now, they posted some of the stuff on X, formerly Twitter. The Greater Manchester Police said that officers were called to the Heaton Park Hebrew Congregation Synagogue at 9:30 in the morning after a vehicle was driven into pedestrians and at least 1 person was stabbed. So it says that it was actually used as a weapon and driven into the pedestrians. We're seeing more of these vehicle attacks, guys, and it's important to be aware. There is a note here says that these guys got together and they did not let this bad guy penetrate the building. So we're going to talk about that. But armed police declared that a major incident about this thing going down. They opened fire minutes later, killing the suspect. Police said the suspect had the appearance of an explosive device on his body, and the bomb disposal unit was called to the scene in suburban Manchester. Now, the video on social media, it showed police with guns pointing at a person that was lying on the tarmac beneath the Blue Star David on the brick building. It said a bystander could be heard on the video saying that the guy had a bomb and that he was trying to push a button, if you can believe that. I mean, how wild is that? When the guy tries to stand up, a gunshot rings out. He falls to the ground, flops on his back, rolls onto his side. Large number of people who were worshiping at the synagogue at the time of the incident. And they said that police said that security staff and worshipers inside, they acted quickly to stop the terror suspect from gaining entry into the building, which could have saved a ton of lives. Police said the 2 suspects were also arrested, though they provided no further information on the arrest. And it said that they police declared Plato, which I got to admit, I was unaware of. It's a national code word used by police and emergency operatives when responding to a marauding terrorist, a firearm attack, or a large scale incident involving significant threats to public safety. So there you have it. We've got a little over a minute, Jeff, to cover this. So you're up, buddy.
Well, I think what's most important here is we have to look at the means in which people are using to commit these terrorist attacks. And a terrorist attack is anytime you use some type of violence to create fear for a political purpose. And this certainly meets those criteria. And what are we seeing? It's the use of a vehicle. And that's something that is very easy to access. It can cause a great amount of casualty in a very short period of time. And we're seeing it not only here in the United States, but most importantly, overseas. Because what happens overseas is what we see here in the United States. And it's important that we stay on top of things like this.
Yeah, no doubt. And when we come back, we've got a lot of agencies that have policies against shooting people in cars, you know, in vehicles. So that may be something to talk about when we get back. But time for our first commercial break, guys, involving Gulls at Gulls.com. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, it's time to talk about Gulls at Gulls.com, our title sponsor. And, you know, as police officers, you know, we buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about what's really important. It's important to support the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gulls at Gulls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gulls at Gulls.com. And we're not done, guys. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to do you one better. They're going to give you a code RADIO15 to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. So again, that's RADIO15. Type that in when you're making your next purchase at Gulls.com to get 15% off your next purchase. And I talk about it all the time. I just got a new pair of Gainer boots, waterproof leather. Unbelievable, Gulls.com. All right, now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com, of course, our satellite sponsor. And you know, guys, they're really known for their product. It's called the Glove. And with Compliant Technologies, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. And we already mentioned their flagship product, the Glove, has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove of ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So take it from me and stay ahead of the game by going to Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And you know, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Preninger. I was going to throw something in there about currently a school crossing guard, you know, but I didn't do that. So, but anyhow, we were talking about a UK terrorist attack at a synagogue. Guys, it's not going to get any better. And if it does, which I don't think it is, but if it does, it's not going to be anytime soon. So this is just another case in point where you need to be cognizant of what's going on, aware of your surroundings, and your head on a swivel. And look, some people are built that way. Some people aren't. But if you're comfortable and prepared, and when I say prepared, if you're packing or planning ahead, or you're rolling with the capability to protect yourself and those people that you're with, then it's even more important for you to be aware of what's going on. Jeff, you know, in talking about this stuff and listening what you were saying, I know there's a lot of agencies that have policies absolutely forbidding their officers from shooting at a moving car or an occupied car. And but with these instances that are now popping up, and these cops are getting to the scene in seconds and potentially, I mean, remember we had one where a bad guy was running from the cop, and he decided to drive through a freaking shopping mall, and the cop stopped his car on the outside and chasing the car on foot, right? I mean, so what is your recommendation? I know you just authored, you know, the new book, you know, On Thin Ice. I know you cover a lot of the stuff in your book, you know, reimagining policing. So does this kind of stuff fit into what your wheelhouse and what you're talking about in the book?
Well, it certainly does, because reimagining policing is essentially keeping up with the evolving times and policing keeping up with the changing environment in which we are policing in, and the realities of the terrorist threats. Here on our own soil have escalated. and significantly those incidents that are involving vehicles. So officers absolutely need to be trained and understand the difference between shooting at a moving vehicle where your department policy may prohibit you from doing so unless you are faced with a threat other than the vehicle itself, because most policies will state officers need to get out of the way and avoid being hit rather than use lethal force, unless, say, a suspect's pointing a gun at you from the moving vehicle, then the scenario is different. But if you're working a carnival, a county fair, a sporting event, or, you know, even a religious outing, and somebody is in a vehicle and they're entering a restricted area, you have to be thinking in different terms, and it would be absolutely appropriate. And any hesitation that an officer would have in trying to determine whether it's appropriate or not to use lethal force in that circumstance, that needs to be settled before the incident even happens. You have to run that scenario through your head and know at what point you've breached that threshold where you're going to be in policy and it'd be appropriate for you to use lethal force to try to stop this imminent threat of serious bodily injury or death to other people.
All right, excellent. Good point. Now, while you're talking, Brett Bartlett, of all people, logs in. He's watching the show, and he said, "Been reading Jeff's book. Excellent stuff." Look at that. You can't even pay to get advertising like that, because, I mean, Brett Bartlett, that guy usually charges a lot of money for anything that comes out of his mouth. So that's just, I don't know, that's just a freebie, or if he's going to, you know, send you a bill in the mail. But anyhow, it's out there already now. So.
Well, actually, what I've done is I sent the sample picture book version to him, and he's supposed to give me feedback on it.
Hey, don't forget my request. It's the pop-up. You know, I like the pop-ups when you open the book. I'm just throwing that out there. So we got a lot of new people watching. So Kathy Mitchell, thanks for watching the show. Brett Bartlett, good to see you. Hope you're feeling good today, Brett. Eddie Leal, just a bunch of guys out there. So thanks for watching the show. Got Krista. Hopefully Krista's on. I don't know if she's on or not, but Krista with Gulls might be watching today's show as well. So I hope that she is.
You can't miss my girl, Betty Dunn.
Oh, Betty. Oh, yeah. Is Betty on here? Have you seen Betty yet?
She is.
Yep, she is. Okay. All right. Good. Good deal. Well, guys, moving along, we got 3 minutes before we take our next commercial break. So we got another main story. TampaFreePress.com. 8 years for attempted Supreme Court murder sparks DOJ outrage. So, of course, this was an attempted on Justice Brett Kavanaugh. There's some people that are upset about this. And I admit there's some good questions. So a federal judge on Friday sentenced Nicholas, well, you know, I'm not even going to give this guy's full name. He's 29-year-old bad guy. He's from Simi Valley, California. He got 97 months. So it's 8 years and 1 month in federal prison. And that's the sentence for the attempted murder of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And it's going to be followed, unless it changes, by a lifetime of supervised release. Now, the sentence was handed down by a judge that's not too popular these days. It's U.S. District Judge Deborah Boardman. I believe she was appointed by the Biden administration in Maryland. And she drew immediate and sharp criticism from the Department of Justice, which had argued for a much harsher prison term of at least 30 years to life. So, again, 30 years to life is what we had asked for. And he ended up getting 8 years in 1 month. Now, the attempted assassination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, according to AG Pam Bondi, was a disgusting attack against our entire judicial system by a profoundly disturbed individual. I have to ditto that, by the way. The Department of Justice will be appealing the woefully insufficient sentence imposed by the district court, which does not reflect the horrific facts of this case. You know, there's some other stuff out there that I bet a lot of people are not aware of. Now, this bad guy, he pled guilty earlier this year to a charge of attempting to kill the United States Supreme Court justice, but there were potentially other justices that were on the list. The plot was thwarted in the early morning hours of June the 8th. And basically, this guy flies from California to Maryland and gets in a taxi. And he's got, and I'm going to list all the crap that he had. He had all the stuff that he needed, duct tape. Well, he had a firearm, black tactical chest ring, tactical knife, 37 rounds of ammo, pepper spray, zip ties, hammer, screwdrivers, nail punch, crowbar, pistol light, duct tape, lockpick tools. He had everything. And I don't even want to think about what he was going to do to Kavanaugh. And this is the stuff that he had with him. And then he sees a couple of U.S. Marshals that are outside Kavanaugh's place. And then he kind of gets, you know, he gets nervous. And then he makes a phone call to 911. kind of, you know, tells them that he's, you know, there to do some harm. And then the police roll in and they grab the guy. But it also says that he stated his plan was to break in and shoot Kavanaugh and then to shoot himself. And then it goes on to say that he was upset because the Roe versus Wade, the leak, and that his indication was that there were two other conservative justices that were also targets as well. That's some scary stuff. And you know, you don't want to encourage other guys to follow suit and not put this guy away for the rest of his life. Second commercial break coming up, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions, and that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, also author of the new book, On Thin Ice. And you can get more information at onthinicebook.com. Jeff, any more commentary with any last topics? Are you ready to move on to an update?
Ready to move on.
All right. So on CNN.com, remember last week, and I know Jeff was on the show, we talked about the Trump administration going after cuts, and it was going to adversely affect New York. We're talking everything from, you know, being able to grab intel for like terrorist plots to the fire department to just a bunch of things. So this article, and I'm not, you know, sometimes you just don't know what to believe and what not to believe. So let me just read the article, and then I guess we'll discuss it. So the Trump admin, now they are reversing the cuts to the counterterrorism funding for New York after the president intervened, is what the article is saying. So they're saying the president kind of stopped it, is the implication they're given in the article. A person familiar with what happens told CNN. So the source for the story is CNN, which normally would not go out of the way to make the president look good. I'm assuming based off of, you know, what I've seen in the past. So this is what's just kind of like puzzling me a little bit. And it goes on to say, here is a quote from President Trump saying that I am pleased to advise that I reverse the cuts made to Homeland Security and counterterrorism for New York City and state. And it was my honor to do so. And that's what he put out on Truth Social, the social media platform, which we actually have an account on too. Trump was only informed about the counterterrorism cuts to New York, which have been met with strong pushback from state leaders in recent days. And they say, the article says, he exploded in anger, ordering them to be reversed. So I know there's a lot of hoopla involving this and a lot of question marks. And of course, I was wondering, you know, there were some remarks saying that they were going to cut funding to cities, jurisdictions, and states that were not on the government side of the illegal aliens and the sanctuary, you know, cities and states and all that stuff. It does say that a district judge on Wednesday expressed similar concerns, citing the 9/11 attacks and other threats, and that they had blocked the federal government from diverting or withdrawing $34 million in funding to protect New York's transportation system from terrorist attacks. That was in the Associated Press. So I had read that from another source as well. So they point that out. But, you know, I guess in the end, funding's back in place and people aren't, you know, there's no reason for people to be that upset anymore. It's just more the question is why it happened in the first place. So they're kind of making it look like Trump was unaware of it until he became aware of it and then he fixed it. I'm not behind the walls of the White House, so I don't know. So if there's no commentary, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm just pleased to see that, because at the end of the day, probably at no time more than now in history have we ever been at the threat of domestic and international terrorism within our borders. And it's really important that we fully fund the intelligence and counterterrorism efforts across the board from coast to coast in this country. We need to be working internationally with other law enforcement entities worldwide and communicating effectively within our borders. because that is what ultimately is going to result in preventing these incidents from occurring. Because if they occur, regardless of how robust our response is, we still have failed. We have to prevent these things from occurring, because the you know, the casualties can be quite immense.
Yeah, you know, good point. I was thinking, I mean, look, just table talking here, I was thinking it was a shot over the bow. You know, I thought that it was just like a warning shot, but nothing that he would, I mean, obviously he couldn't afford to follow through with that, because, you know, what would make Trump look worse than having, you know, stuff happen on his watch that could have been prevented? Everybody would have been pointing their finger at him, including me and other fellow Republicans and stuff, you know, because what a huge mistake that would have been. And the stories we just covered, one in, you know, across the pond, were a synagogue, you know, a dude in a bad guy in a vehicle again. So you're right. We can't afford for this to happen. So in any case, I'm glad to see that it's I don't know if it's a shot over the bow or not, or maybe he didn't know. There's a lot of moving parts. I know he can't know everything that's going on. You got to have people in place that you trust. But I'm glad that at least that part's fixed. And you're right, New York City, they've got their intelligence capabilities, from what I understand, they're amazing, and they're given a lot of carte blanche, you know, for with what they do. I also know that it takes potentially years to put assets in place to get really good intelligence, because that's what I used to do. You've done it. It just can take. I know when I started my operation, you know, my intelligence operations, I told my people that we're going in, and we would have to see something so outrageous to take police action, which we never did. I'd say, because we're in intelligence gathering mode, and that's all we're going to do. We're going to see crimes going down, and we're not going to do anything about it. That's not our role. You have to gather intelligence, and then putting assets on the ground and in places, you know, so if you have an administration where that wasn't really going on, that setback, that can set you back years, if not a decade or more. So I'm glad to see that we're on ball, you know, on board with that. And hopefully, you know, we can do a good job of preventing further. We got the, you know, we're behind the eight ball on this one. It's not a great place to be with what's going on in the recent past, you know. You know, Jeff, what kind of a filter do you have on that microphone to make your voice sound like that deep, rich sound? What do you got going on over there? What is that thing? I mean, if we meet in person and you've got like your voice jumps an octave higher than what it is now, I'm going to be upset, dude. If I find out that you've had some kind of a microphone hidden off camera that I can't see making you sound that way, I'm going to be really upset.
It's actually just lack of sleep over the weekend.
Dude, I mean, this is about a $1,500 microphone, and to make me sound like this. Cause yeah, because if you hear me about the mic, I'm completely different now, a little bit, maybe.
I'm just practicing for when I go into the studio to record my book for the audio version.
There you go. That's coming up. All right, guys. Well, look, moving along. We've got another story. We got a story with a video component, and there are two that I definitely want to cover. The first one's going to be pretty quick because it is a church, you know, shooting. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So the Grand Blanc Township Police, they showed this body cam of the officer shooting that killed the LDS church shooter.
South end of the building.
I got your back back here, man. Yeah, stay there.
Get on the ground.
Shoot him.
Shoot him.
Get back. Get back.
Drop the gun now. Drop it.
You good?
And this goes down pretty quick. It's only 52 seconds long. And I say that because if anyone wants to see any video component of what we're talking about, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time. Producer Will take a copy of this live show from the day before, and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them as well. It's a great way to watch the show. So this live show is during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock the next morning is when we put these special versions of the show up. So they show this body cam footage of the officer involved shooting. So Chief William Rain, he starts off by giving an update timeline of the officer's response to the shooting. And it places the death of the shooter at just 3 minutes and 34 seconds after the first call was made, the dispatch. Now think about that. 3.5 minutes after the first call is made. And that's down from the original estimate, which is up at 8 minutes. So the chief range said that within 16 seconds, that's 1/6 of the first call coming in, that dispatchers had sent to police to begin their response. And then within 1 minute and 58 seconds, that's less than 2 minutes, a Michigan conservation officer arrives on the scene of the shooting. And then it goes on to say that the Grand Blanc Township Police, they arrive on the scene 3 minutes and 6 seconds afterwards. And the chief showed 47 seconds of body cam footage, including the shots that killed the gunman. It was pretty pristine. I liked what I saw. And then long guns, Jeff. We had long guns on the scene, thank God. What'd you think?
Well, yeah, you know, it looked like
conservationist.
Yeah, he appeared to show up initially. He didn't have a long gun. I didn't see him armed with a long gun. And I think that's important because he wasn't effective in neutralizing the suspect. And he was in a position prior to the second officer that responded to have done so. But there was that second officer that had the long gun. And he didn't hesitate. He engaged and neutralized that threat in short order. And he's to be commended for that. And he remained calm the entire time. The video shows him as he's coming through the parking lot, rounds the corner, and then is able to address the suspect. And it was rather impressive. I don't know where these officers happened to be or what they were actually doing at the time the call went out, but it's absolutely impressive that they were there in such a short period of time. And thank goodness they were.
Yeah, the dialogue that he was able to do, communication that he was doing with the other officers in dispatch, I was impressed. And even when he took the shot, it wasn't like he was, he was free holding the rifle. He wasn't using anything as leverage to, you know, for the shots that he took. It was pretty impressive. So, yeah.
It was. He's obviously been trained, whatever his background is, whether it's military background or he takes his firearms proficiency seriously and he goes to the range on his own. It definitely showed that day.
Agreed. So, all right. So now we got another one that we're going to be covering coming up here. And I'm looking here. We're coming up on another commercial break. So I will whet the appetite for this one before we go to thegunlearn.com. But this next one, man charges at Anaheim police officer with a shovel, ends up being fatally shot. So guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Dan O'Kelly, and listen to this. He's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, your command staff, chief, sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, author of the new book, On Thin Ice, and you can get more information at onthinicebook.com. And we just got done talking about a story with a video component of a church shooter. And I think that was pretty spectacular. And you know what, Jeff, when we've got guys like Scott Peterson in Broward County and, you know, just law enforcement that just doing the wrong thing, embarrassing us or acting like cowards and stuff, it's nice to see guys that are getting it done, that aren't running away from the danger, but they're going to it. And kudos to the chiefs and the sheriffs that are outfitting their guys, you know, with long guns. And maybe not everybody had one at this particular time, but they're available to the guys. And what a difference, as in this case, they can make. So This made us all look good. So yeah, I love covering ones like this. We got a another story that we're going to be covering, and I just kind of whet the appetite. It's Anaheim police, and at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. This guy charges Anaheim police officer with a shovel, ends up being fatally shot.
No shit.
This is wild. A 36-year-old guy carrying a broken shovel charges at an Anaheim police officer before the officer fatally shoots this guy outside an elementary school that happened last month. And yeah, kids were in the school at the time. So it says that police first received the call about 12:10 in the afternoon, so the height of noon on a Monday, September the 15th, about a suspicious guy outside of a home, and the guy at that time had a brick. And then the caller reported that the guy appeared to be a transient, possibly under the influence of drugs. 30 minutes later, the officer arrives at the address, and about that same time, dispatch gets another call, and this one's from an employee at John Marshall Elementary School reporting that the same guy was now near their campus, and he had a broken shovel. So during the call, dispatch recites the description provided by the first caller, a man in his 30s, 5'10", 160 pounds, got a green shirt, brown pants, backpack. And the school employee confirms that that's the person that is outside the school. It matches the description, and that he's been lingering near the campus for about an hour. And so there's more information, but minutes later, the officer arrives, encounters the guy who is, his name is Rudy Anthony Martinez II of Norwalk, and he's walking in the middle of the road. Now, when the deputy pulls up, according to my notes, the officer yells out an expletive. He sees this dude walking towards the patrol car with the shovel, and it's like, and he dropped, and he makes expletive because he's like, crap, you know, this is, you know, going to have a pucker factor. Officer brings his car to a stop. He gets out of it. But as soon as the bad guy sees the cop getting out of his car, he starts charging the officer. And the bad guy, remembers, got this broken. I mean, it's a shovel. I mean, it doesn't, the fact that it's partially broken doesn't really make much of a difference. So the officer is in the middle of the road, gets out of his car because he doesn't want to be sitting there, you know, in like a tomb, you know, when the guy's coming up with the shovel. And so you have different perspectives. So the first one is from the dash cam, and we actually have sound. You see the guy coming up, and the side of the view of the dash cam, you can see him like hitting something twice. It ends up being the open car door, but you couldn't tell from the video whether it was the officer or not. I suspect something broke off and cracked the windshield. Jeff, I'd like to hear what you think about that, because you heard a loud pop, and then you see the crack in the windshield, and then you hear the gunfire, right? Then we go to the officer's body cam, but the sound had not been activated yet, and you see the guy coming up, and he's swinging this bat, and he's taking out the door, right? And then he runs around the door, and then he's coming right at the officer when shots are fired. So, and the officer fired multiple rounds, struck the bad guy, and it ended up being a fatal encounter. A bad guy, you know, ended up dying. So your thoughts on this one, Jeff?
Well, first, from a tactical standpoint, when the officer drove up and saw this individual, which was clearly easily identifiable based on the clothing description and the fact that he was carrying the shovel, the guy was a threat, not only potentially to the officer who was at that time still seated in the vehicle, but there was another pickup truck of some sort that was stopped at the stop sign, which was directly across. Yeah, the Hummer that was directly across from the police officer. So, these are the types of things as police officers. It's not wrong for him to stop and deploy outside of the vehicle, but I would hope that you would also consider remaining in the vehicle and perhaps doing a front bumper takedown on this individual rather than exposing yourself to potentially getting hit with the shovel and then it being escalated that way. I'm sure there's different schools of thought on that. Some agencies may frown on using that tactical technique, but in this case, because of your ability to articulate the potential for the bad background that you have because of the Hummer and the occupants of the Hummer, and also being in a residential neighborhood as well as a school, you don't know the movements of the suspect or what background you may ultimately have at the time you decide to fire. So I would hope that at a minimum would be a consideration. Take him down with a front bumper takedown. That being said, the officer was completely justified in the use of deadly force in this circumstance. And the individual obviously had some mental health issues, but in this circumstance, the suspect's actions dictated the officer's response because he was adjacent to a school. And that's something that I'd like to talk about a little bit relative to the communication between the schools and their local law enforcement agency. And the reason I say that is because I have a good friend from when I was living in Los Angeles that is actually a school teacher at that school. And she contacted me yesterday and showed me this video and asked me what my thoughts were. And ultimately what happened, it was with a principal at the school contacted the police department. And although in Anaheim School District, they have school resource officers, there's not one assigned to this particular school. So there was not an officer assigned on campus when this incident occurred. In the communication that the principal had with the law enforcement agency, she was told that an officer was going to respond to the school to assist in conjunction with the officers that were deployed to deal with the suspect. Unfortunately, there was never an officer that arrived at the school. So what the principal elected to do was to declare a level 3 rather than a level 2 emergency. And the difference between the two is a level 2 is a lower level. That's where you may have some type of incident that is occurring off campus, but would require you not to allow people to have access outside the school. And you continue to go along your daily business as usual, but you're aware of a potential incident that's occurring outside of the school. A level 3 in which she declared, it rises the level of like an active shooter, that there's an imminent threat on campus. So what that did is that caused all kinds of emotional trauma to the students, to the teachers, and was an over escalation of a response that was not necessary under these circumstances. So am I critical of the principal for having done that? No, not at all. However, these types of escalations of potential trauma that you may be causing your students can be avoided if you have better communication with the law enforcement agency. So that's a responsibility of not only the school district and their administrators, but also the law enforcement agency itself.
Interesting. Let me ask you a question. Do you think anything might change with that school, with them having the presence of a school resource officer now after this incident?
Yeah. Well, you know, I really do. It's incidents like this that wakes up parents. Yeah. And parents can often facilitate action. And I would suspect that this school moving forward will find the funding to have a school resource officer, I suspect.
I can almost guarantee that. I don't have kids, but boy, I tell you, if I did, that would be my mission in life. And I wouldn't want something like that happen again. Yeah. That's scary stuff.
And you know, unfortunately, we have incidents of school shootings so frequently. Kids are not oblivious to it. They're aware of it, and they see the news when they come home from school and these incidents occur. So when they're thinking that they're potentially at risk of that occurring, you know, that can be very traumatic for these children. You know, you're talking in elementary school where you're talking K through sixth grade. These are young kids.
I get it. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. They shouldn't have to, I mean, at that age, they should never have to go through something like that. But especially at that age, it's a lot tougher. So I get it. Another great show, Jeff Wininger. Congratulations again on the new book, On Thin Ice. And to our listening audience and viewers, if you want more information on the book, simply go to onthinicebook.com. But another great show. We appreciate it. Do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. You know, I support them monthly. I hope you guys consider going to the Wounded Blue and checking them out and what they do. Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, who is the founder of the Wounded Blue. They're doing some great work over there. So please, you know, check them out. I think that you guys would be very glad that you did. And another shout out to our sponsors, guys. You know, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com. And look, we're going to move that giveaway to tomorrow. We did not get enough entrants for that. FisherOrlandoBass.com with Zach. Again, guys, If you want to wrestle alligators or if you want to do bass fishing, go to fishorlandobass.com. But thanks for the support. We appreciate it. Hope everybody has a wonderful and a safe rest of your week. And we will see you back here tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.